Adam Schefter there with the latest about Commissioner Roger Goodell's appeal that he filed. Now, he's not going to oversee the appeal, according to multiple reports, but it's him behind it. Trust me.
No. He is not going to oversee the appeal, but he is appointing the person who is going to. Oh, so I wonder how they're going
to
react.
He just wants to be far away from this. But so to go back to the news from Monday, Sue L. Robinson, she was the independent arbitrator who was appointed to listen to the 3 days of hearings back in June about Deshaun Watson's alleged assaults and the trauma that he inflicted on dozens of masseuses, even though they only heard from four masseuses and considered those cases. She hands down the 6-game suspension, and now the league is seeking 12 games plus a monetary fine, possibly. Mm-hmm. In my, I wrote about this for WEEI.com today, and I just think that this whole thing has been completely bungled. It's been from the position of seeking justice for the alleged victims, but it's also just made a complete mockery of the new system that the players' union and that the league agreed to in order to make this more fair for a player going through. I'm not saying that Deshaun Watson shouldn't get more games, but this is the system that you put into place. You brought in a legal expert, a retired federal judge, in order to come down and consider all of the bylaws and everything and treat this like a proper legal system, which is what she did. And then what she wrote up, if you read her 16-page findings that she published, she sits there and says, you have not set the precedent that a player should expect to be punished this way for these actions. I am looking at violent offenders in the past who have gotten 2-game suspension, 6-game suspension, 8-game suspensions. Yeah. I can't sit here and give him 12-plus games because you've never done it before. So don't ask me to come in and change, overhaul your entire league. And so she writes that up and she says 6 games. That's what you've done in the past. This is the precedent that's been set. I'm not here to set new precedent for your league. And Goodell's office comes in and says, well, that looks really bad. That looks really bad. Like, the public's really pissed off. Twitter's blowing up.
I hope I'm wrong about this, because you hear Adam Schefter, he sounds really strong, right? The NFL telling you they're not going to stand by. They want indefinite. And it's like, I still feel like it's PR from the NFL, like in Roger Goodell's side. Like, we're not going to stand for it. You know, we're going to appeal this. We want him off the field. And in the end, he's just going to get 6 games. Because they do have a leg to stand on. Because, as you pointed out, Sue Robinson was just sort of like, listen, this is what you've set up. But in her findings, she did find that he violated the league's personal conduct policy.
Right.
In 3 different ways. She said, you know, by engaging in sexual assault, by engaging in conduct that poses a genuine danger to the safety and well-being of another person, and by engaging in conduct that undermines or puts the risk the integrity of the NFL. So, but I can only give him 6. I felt like she sort of threw Goodell a bone, you know, because now we can come back and say he violated the league's personal conduct policy. So they should be able to appeal. They should be able to add by almost the information that they gave her in her conclusion. But I don't know. Part of me just feels like Rodgers is just going to make it look like they're trying, and they're going to get, you know, Deshaun Watson back in the field.
But here's the other thing, because, Christian, I want your opinion on this part of it. And I know this isn't the entire point of Deshaun Watson. You know, there should be justice for the alleged victims. I know that that is ultimately the point. But when you look at, this is the first time that they've put through this kind of legal process, right? And it's a complete mess, because the whole idea was that Roger Goodell wasn't going to be judge, jury, executioner. Yeah. That was the whole idea.
We collectively bargained that.
Bring in a super smart, savvy, competent former federal judge who says, well, she writes in here, it's inherently unfair to identify conduct as prohibited only after the conduct has been committed. So basically she's saying, you didn't lay out here enough. Mm-hmm. Of course you wouldn't be able to expect that one of your players would go out and possibly assault dozens of masseuses. That's very specific. But you didn't even outline enough in your bylaws, your policies for your players, that this kind of conduct, like, black and white, can't do this, cannot do this. It's nonviolent. It's special in that way. And now, who is it in the hands of? Who is ultimately going to make the decision? Well, Roger Goodell's office.
It doesn't mean that he's going to win. My thing forget about anything that's going on. It's interesting to me how a third person who has no history with the league, isn't in their business, isn't day to day watching them, looks in, has the opportunity to judge their business and then rules this way. It shows like how a very smart, savvy, professional, credible woman, okay, who's been in the in this area for, you know, a long time, gives the keys to your car and says, you're all screwed up. You're all screwed up. None of this makes sense. How are you? Because I read your article. You use kangaroo court. That's what it feels like. It feels like you're just making up rules as you go. And that is what, that is the power that Roger Goodell had for years. So they say, forget about this. We don't want you just doing whatever you feel like. So we're going to collectively bargain this, and then we're both going to agree that this person, this third person, and we both have to agree on this person, and then we're going to put our feet up, and then we're both going to accept the ruling.
We're going to let this adult outside of the room handle it.
Okay, she ruled. Okay, you don't like it. Well, then you need to change your bylaws. You need to change everything. And the NFL will do this. They can go to the NFLPA and say, listen, we'll accept it, but obviously, there's going to be a PR nightmare, and this affects you just as much as it affects us. We need to fix it. I guarantee you the NFLPA will be like, okay, fine, we'll do this. I had a feeling this would happen, and I thought even last week that this is a leveraging chip for the players to get something extra. You guys don't like it? Okay, give us something else. Give us universal health care.
How it could be a leveraging chip.
Well, I think the NFL players still want more revenue stream. They still want less practice time. They still want like long-term health care. There's a lot of things that they
want. They don't want an 18th game being tacked on.
They want, if they're going to have that 18th game, they want to benefit from it financially.
So I saw Albert Breer tweet out that apparently commissioner has appointed New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey to hear the appeal. Now, apparently, he has deep expertise in criminal law, including domestic violence, sexual assault, and has advised the NFL and other professional leagues on the development and implementation of workplace policies. And Tyler, you were saying, was he involved in Ezekiel Elliott as well?
He advised the NFL on the 6-game suspension, which for Ezekiel Elliott came after no crimes. And after the long investigation, they suspended him for 6 games, and he was on the committee that advised the NFL to do that.
And that was after Lisa Friel, who worked for the NFL, interviewed the woman, and came back and said, I don't think you should give him anything.
This is all optics, right? This is 100% optics. Goodell has to do this in order to just show that he won't stand for it.
Because
when you sit there and say, he doesn't care, they don't care. Well, they don't have any practices or bylaws or, okay, step one, if you're getting a massage, don't try to manipulate the masseuse and have sex with her or bring a towel. Like, okay, to your point, Mego, who the hell would have thought that one of their star young players in the league would be routinely predatory, like recruiting women to give him massages on a daily basis? Like, no one, you can't write this.
Of course you can't write that up as a policy, you know? But I do think that this goes...
So you have
this. This goes bigger than just one guy, and I understand. I totally believe that this is like less than 1% of the league that would get into a situation like this or has gotten into a situation like this. But the fact that the facts that came out in that New York Times article about how deeply entrenched the Houston Texans organization was in terms of setting him up with NDAs, but also setting him up with space in a local boutique hotel
these things. All that's fine. My thing is, okay, you had your chance to do it right.
Mm-hmm.
You lost. That's it. Like, you lost. It's over. So go ahead. Now, they're going to appeal it. Okay, and I think if they win, they win. This is like Tom Brady all over again, but at a higher level. I just
how
don't
bad
think
do they want this? Though is the question. Like, I hope we're wrong. Like, it's not just optics.
There's not enough. There's not enough
money.
Oh, you
mean how bad does the league want an actual?
I would love to really appeal and kind of take this thing and feel like they're really doing the right thing because he did violate so many things and just try to get more games out of it. They want a monetary fine. You know, he's going to lose $330,000 by the way he set it up.
Well, they don't like that either.
$46 million signing bonus. Year one salary is $1 million. They set up the contract so not to get hit financially. So it's like they want him to be fined. They want him to have more games suspended. And I'm just curious to see how far they go with it. Or do they just want their quarterback on Monday Night Football against the Bengals on Week 8?
There's so many different layers to this. Even when I think about Ben Roethlisberger got 6 games. 6 games for a settled case with one woman. Yeah. One that was settled. Like, you don't even know what really went on, okay? But it was settled with one woman. He got 6 games. So I just don't know how this finishes. But I do think the NFL is, because if I was the NFL, I would make sure I appeal it. I would force him to play this year out. And then the fine, the 6-game fine and suspension would go next year where he would be hit financially bigger because his salary is bigger, right? So it would be 6 games at a higher clip.
Oh, so you would do 6 games per season is what
you're saying. No, 6 games.
For the rest of his life.
I would make him. His 6-game suspension would happen next year when his salary is higher.
How do you put him on appeal week one?
But if you're appealing it, this is just same with Brady. Brady's, as the appeal was going on, he played the entire year. And then once he finally conceded and said, forget it, I'm not fighting anymore, then the next year he ended up having that 4-game suspension or whatever it was. So if they actually push it to next year, not only will he still have to do the 6 games and they lose, but he will be fined a greater amount of money.
So you're saying that they will push out the appeal process that long, like drag it out?
Well, that's
so that
what they're doing.
Right.
If they're appealing it now, he'll play during the appeal. He can't sit there and go, okay, I'm going to go ahead and get my 6 games out of the way and then retroactively figure it out. No,
what if they settle it this weekend?
What if How would they settle it?
I heard that there may be some middle ground or some.
Is that possible?
Monetary fine, yeah.
Don't appeal it. You want a year. I don't want anything. The Sue Robinson gave us 6. I'll take 8 and we call it quits.
Yeah, and maybe we give you that. We dock this much of your pay.
I guess that's possible. I think all sides want it over with. But if they fight this, he'll play this year during the appeal. The NFL is appealing it. Why would he sit out?
Well, he's still going to sit the first 6.
No, but why?
Because they're appealing 6, so they're going to start at game 7. You know what I mean? They're going to try to get more. They're going to try to get 7 or 8. But I read it differently. During the appeal, they suspended him for 6
games.
It's
on hold. I think if they appeal it, the suspension is on hold. Now they're fighting the appeal, so he actually hasn't even been suspended yet. You wouldn't sit out 6 games until everything was finalized, just like Brady. Brady was fined, okay, and then he won the appeal, and then they went to federal district court, whatever the hell it was. But the appeal went through the entire season.
Yeah.
He was fined before what year it was, and then he played the entire year. Then he was suspended and sat out those first 4 games.
I'm gonna check the calendar on this because I am curious if that's a possibility. I'm actually not sure. But we have the trend, and when we come back on the other side of trending, we're gonna do big deal or no big deal. Let's trend first with Tyler.
You got anything to say for yourself?
We didn't think it was that big a deal.
No big deal.
It's a big deal.
Big deal.
Kind of a big deal in New England right now.
No big deal.
Not that big a deal.
Not a big deal, huh?
Why does that make such a big deal? I don't understand that.
No big deal.
Big deal.
Is Joe Biden getting a bad deal here?
All right, so big deal, no big deal, ladies and gentlemen. So obviously the Red Sox lost last night 6-1 to the Houston Astros, but it wasn't the loss that actually is kind of getting my attention today. It's the fact that Brian Baio got hurt.
Yeah.
And not that he actually got hurt, Purdue actually noticed it is kind of surprising and had to alert manager Alex Cora of what was going on. Here's Alex Cora postgame.
Was it just on that last pitch?
I saw it actually in the right before that at bat, he was stretching out. Then he threw 2 pitches. He didn't do much. And then that one, he stepped back. There was a catcher on the other side paying a lot of attention to, and he pointed. I was like, I got it, yeah. So, yeah. So hopefully it's nothing serious, you know. It's something that is X amount of days, and he can be okay.
All right, Lou, that catcher that Alex Cora is talking about is newly acquired Houston Astros catcher Christian Vasquez, who flagged Cora down from the Astros dugout to note that Bale didn't look quite right. He looked uncomfortable during his 4th inning appearance. Big deal, no big deal.
I say no big deal. I say Christian Vasquez, he's on the Astros, but I felt like he's not 100% in until the Red Sox left. So when he looks out there and sees a kid he's been working with, kind of reaching for this, reaching for that, he knows he doesn't feel right. And I think he just looked over by that point. I think the Red Sox kind of knew what was going on. But I guess you could say, well, he's in the Astros now. He shouldn't care if he's hurt, but his Astros career started
paying a lot of attention to.
Yeah, his Astros career probably starts today.
Why can't he? Because obviously not playing the Red Sox, but right. I feel like there's like it's almost like a mother hen mentality, mama bear. Look at my guy out there is hurting. You guys can't hold me back. That's my guy over there.
He's
my young pup. Why is it anything? Nobody's doing anything.
No big deal, and I love it. I love that he's still like watching. He's like, oh my guy, he's hurt. Hey, Alex. Hey, watch out for Brian. He needs a trainer.
Don't you think that the Astros are kind of looking at him going, dude, you're an Astro now. Yeah. Will you stop? Like, he's fine. They have somebody. They have a trainer over there. Will you stop butting in?
It'd
you're
be different
an Astro
if he
now.
Had, like, if he called, like, time.
Oh,
and then, like, actually stepped over the railing and was on the field, and he's like, time, and he's gesturing over, be like, what are you doing, right?
But that would have been great.
Right, that would have been a little bit weird.
That definitely would have been stepping over. Yeah.
That would have been a little weird.
All right, so from somebody who actually got a speeding ticket and got a suspended license for speeding in another state, mind you.
But that was a paperwork issue.
In actuality, it ended up being my issue.
What?
It wasn't a different story. I did not know that.
And Greg Hill helped you out, right?
Well, not necessarily. Nobody actually helped you out.
This is a big deal because you told us it was a computer issue.
You told us it was a glitch.
Well,
you told us it was an administrative glitch.
Well, technically, I thought it was, but I didn't know that this rule had changed.
You got to pay a speeding ticket.
No, if you speed in another state like New Jersey, okay,
and hypothetically, specific.
Just for example, let's say you go
20 miles over the speed limit in New Jersey on a highway in New Jersey.
Yes.
Okay, and the officer doesn't arrest you; he just gives you a ticket. But the ticket, he says, reckless driving. Okay, I say fine, an $80 speeding ticket. I pay it. I go about my way. I didn't know that they share information here in the great state of Massachusetts, but they do. And because of that, I got my license suspended for 2 months.
But you paid the bill.
Yeah, but I didn't even know my license was suspended because they sent something to me. I don't know. I probably threw it away. I didn't even know until I got pulled over.
And that was the glitch in the system.
That was the glitch in the system.
No way the notice is.
Now we get the truth. Okay, go.
It's not a lie.
So go ahead, you believe it. You got reckless driving and they suspend your license in Massachusetts.
Yes.
For that?
Okay. Do you remember this? There was an issue with a guy that ran over some drunk driver that ran over a bunch of motorcycle guys
in New Hampshire. I remember
And he had his license suspended in another state. That state didn't alert the state, didn't suspend his license. So this guy's driving around in New Hampshire and he's killing people and he should have had his license suspended. So that's how I suffered from it. But how about this? Arizona Cardinals wide receiver Marquise Brown,
Hollywood.
He was charged with criminal speeding. Now, I was going like 85 in a 65-mile-an-hour zone.
I would say, by the way, like a pretty normal speed for the highway.
Same with me, but okay.
Again, you're borderline.
I feel like I was a victim of circumstance.
You're not like 95.
So this criminal speeding is actually 20 miles over the speed limit, apparently.
So Marquise Brown.
So he's going 85?
No. You want to play like
95.
Nope, is he going 100?
105?
Nope, he's in triple
digits. Keep going. Anybody? 125? Close. 126. He was pulled over driving 126 miles per hour in a 65 mile per hour zone. Big deal or no big deal, Mega, as you take a swig of your Mountain Dew.
This is a very big deal.
This is insane.
Frightening. That's Autobahn.
That is it. Can you even go? I don't know how many cars. So, I guess there are cars.
It was 7:05 a.m. when he was arrested. So he had no alcohol in the system, right? Or was it like an all-night bender?
I think they would have told us if he had.
Who was the guy that?
Who was he on his way to? At 7:05 in the morning.
Was it Henry Ruggs
going for a ride?
Who for the Raiders?
Maybe he was late for camp.
It said he was traveling from his home to practice.
There you go. He's late for work.
$1.26.
Did
it say what kind of car he was driving? Because I don't want it to be a truck. I want it to be like a high performance,
little Prius,
expensive car. Do you think a Prius goes over 80?
$1.26.
Have you ever looked at your
126?
Have you ever gone like as fast as your car? Because you have a BMW.
No,
you have like a little.
Yeah, but I never have. I think maybe I hit in the 90s before.
What's the fastest?
I've also probably gotten pulled over at least 18 times.
And never gotten a ticket because
you just cry.
I've gotten tickets.
I'm sorry.
I don't cry. I can't cry anymore. I'm like immune to it. I'm like, oh, here I am. I'm pulled over again.
I tried that. That ain't gonna work.
First of all, that's a big deal.
126 is a big deal.
It's remarkable that these guys still do this. First of all, if you are late for practice, shouldn't they just get up 10 minutes early? Mm-hmm. Nah, don't worry about it. I can make up. I got my car goes 125 miles an hour. And I don't care if I'm driving. He was entering a school zone. That's the other part of this.
Holy smokes.
He was entering a school zone.
Well, it's summer vacation.
In Arizona, I feel like they go back to school already. Should someone get Glenn on the phone to find out if his kids are at school or not?
Yeah.
All right. One of my biggest fears is sharks in pools.
Yep.
I don't know if you know this or not. It's an irrational fear.
It's really strange.
But it's real and it's severe. But I just found a new one.
What's that?
Walking sharks.
Wait, what?
Yeah. A rare walking shark was spotted on land.
Land shark.
Oh, I like it.
No, it's like a real shark, but here's the thing. It's a tiny little thing, Lou. Big deal or no big deal.
It's like a foot and a half long. Like, it's not like a great white that's just walking down the street like, hey, what's up? I'm going to eat you. The thing's like a foot and a half long tops.
Yeah, but
right?
It's pretty impressive.
But it just looks like a fish or some weird thing. It doesn't look like, you know, again, it's not like walking down Chatham and just some great whites walking down the street going to whatever, a couple of the bars.
Yeah, in the abstract, I was like, wow, big deal. Then I watched the video and I was like, that's not a shark.
You can, like, drop
we gotta stop
thing.
Calling yeah. things sharks that don't look like sharks, by the way.
Well,
like, that thing looks like a catfish. No. It doesn't look like a shark.
It does. But I feel like that's part of the, hey, listen, let me see how I can scare. It's Shark Week. Let me see how another way of scaring people, because the sharks are in the water, are scary. What if the sharks landed?
When you thought it was safe to be on the land.
Yeah, what about Sharknado? Why don't they play that movie and that show over and over
again? You know that when you're in the water, Chief, you tell by looking from the dorsal to the tail.
Bad fish.
All right, anybody hire that guy to take care of this foot-long shark.
Anybody got a blocked nose? Anybody dealing with any sort of like, any kind of like runny nose?
You need septum?
Little bit of allergies coming in.
You got some allergies?
Get a little allergies.
Okay, so no worries. Soon you'll have another option to breathe through. It should be good news for you since you have allergies.
What's this?
Your butthole.
No.
Excuse me?
Yeah, you heard that right. In studies exploring treatment for people with respiratory conditions, a team of researchers in Japan has revealed that pigs can absorb oxygen through the anus.
Okay, you can suck it in,
you
but
can
what
suck
happens
it in. Well,
when you push it back out?
They're trying.
It's a little bit rude when you do that.
That's called a fart.
They're trying to find like ways, just in case you do have respiratory issues. They're doing all these tests on certain animals that have similar, you know, reproductive systems as we do, as respiratory systems as we do. How if a rat can breathe through their nose, if a pig can breathe through your nose, why can't a human? Lou, big deal, no big deal.
I think I need more information.
Okay, first of all, can we work on just like a more impressive inhaler before we go
to
this?
We'll start with that?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about the whole like, you know, like I get sinuses. My nose gets all congested, especially in the summertime back when it used to just get a cold. And I don't really feel comfortable sort of sitting around going, that's okay. I know I can breathe through my butt and start doing it. They
I would
trying
say
to do it. I don't know.
If you were going to
breathe, crap myself.
Shouldn't it be naturally? Oh,
look,
it would be your ears.
Out.
Like, why don't you breathe through your ears? I feel like somehow, probably not. That should be connected. You can like drill a hole or something like that. You can breathe out of your ears instead of your mouth or your nose.
Well, it's ear, nose, and throat, doctor.
Yes.
So you would think that
I would think
be
it would be my
ears,
not my ass.
No, I'm not.
It's a totally different doctor.
I'm not gonna.
Now, if you can breathe out of your butthole, would your butthole be required to wear a mask?
Oh,
for COVID,
here we go.
Good question, good Tyler. Point,
double mask.
Good question.
It already does. It's pants.
Good question.
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, I want to look into that. That's big deal, no big deal.
All right, that is big deal, no big deal. Something
transition from
just like that.
By the way, one more addition to big deal, no big deal. We mentioned the story about Marquise Hollywood Brown in May. The Arizona Cardinals, the team that currently employs him, were shaken by the death of cornerback Jeff Gladney, who they just signed 2 months earlier. He died in a car crash where investigators listed unsafe speed as the contributing factor.
Ugh.
His teammate literally just died. He didn't play with him, of course, but he died in May. The organization was killed by this news, and he's still out there going 126 and a 65.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
That's so fast.
Sad.
I was going 85.
85 is
a
really
normal. I
don't
even think you were going 85.
That's
going
a normal
85.
High
right about everything
Christian,
else.
Christian, I don't think you were going 85.
You?
I don't think.
Is that like
you're
what
going
the,
85.
Is that what the cop wrote down so you didn't go to jail?
I don't
or
think
something?
You're going 85.
Maybe I was going a little faster.
92.
Like 85 is a normal speeding ticket.
Yeah, 85. They sort of look
at
you.
Yeah, but if a speed limit is
they throw the
65.
High beams on as you drive by. Like, hey, slow down.
Because if you do 80 and a 65, depending on how traffic's moving, they're like, you're pushing it, but I'm not going to turn on the
lights.
See,
the thing
for
is, I rented like a really fast car, and I didn't mean to, and I feel like I just lost track of how fast I was going because it was such a smooth ride.
85.
You have a need for speed.
one time I got pulled over in high school.
At least.
I got pulled over in high school doing like 85 and a 65 on a highway, and the cop asked me. No, I was like, I was just listening to this talk about Washington football, and I got so mad, and he was like, I was listening to that too.
You guys had a connection.
Yeah.
Mago, you know what the thing is like Christian did had his license lost for a couple weeks, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like
a
Uber
mile is long,
and train
more
and,
than a couple weeks.
And am I wrong with all of us, Tyler Ryan feeling bad for him because thinking, oh my God, a computer glitch.
Yeah, we were
like, he actually paid the fine.
This could happen to us.
And it never should have been suspended.
That's true.
And just a computer screwed me up. And now I've got to get my license back. I'm in Ubers. I'm taking trains. It's inconvenience in my life. We all felt bad. And now we found out there's no computer glitch.
It was a computer
glitch. It's just Fourier.
You were a criminal.
It's not a lie if you believe it.
Yes. I was actually feeling bad for you.
Yeah, well,
you should feel bad for me.
Wait, you're a reckless driver.
The fine was $80.
I paid $80.
Oh, see, now, okay. Throw in somebody else.
You're going 97.
Throw in Michael Floyd. Why'd you throw in Michael Floyd? I don't know what street I'm on. The old Arizona Cardinal wide receiver.
With disgusting drive. I don't know.
Do you know what street you're on?
Oh, all those years. I was feeling bad for you, too. Now
I was just trying to hitch a ride, and nobody
was looking at the signs. Tell me where you are.
In this score, Thomas Avenue.
Not even close.
I know. I would be leaving the station. Christian would be like, oh, guess I have to wait for my Uber. And I'm like, I guess so. I'm not driving you home.
No one's afraid of
that. My favorite part of the story is that Christian was surprised that this happened in New Jersey and the news somehow made it back up to Massachusetts. It's not 1930 anymore.
I didn't know. They
sent an email.
No, they share information
now.
Yeah,
of course they do.
This thing called a computer.
Well, they didn't do it beforehand.
When we were 18?
All I have to do is never go back to New Jersey, and this does not, happen.
You know, the thing is, I never should have paid the
school,
fine.
Right?
If I didn't pay the fine, this never would have happened. Yeah. And I would have avoided New Jersey at all costs. Yeah, I would have been fine.
If you didn't pay the fine, they would have had a warrant out for your arrest.
In New Jersey.
No, here.
No, they only in New Jersey. Who is the attorney on the Greg Hill Show? That guy. Call that guy.
Larry the lawyer.
We should get Larry the lawyer on. We can kind of straighten this thing
out. I was taking advantage of it.
All right, listen, before we go to break, let me take this call. Eric from Medford. He wants to bring up the whole, we were just talking about Deshaun Watson suspension.
Yeah.
You were comparing it to Tom Brady, yep. And he's got an issue with it, apparently.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, so the suspension's a little different from Tom Brady because he was appealing a suspension at all. But in this case, the NFLPA is not appealing a suspension. They're accepting the 6 games. The NFL is trying to make it longer. So I think Florio had an article about it saying no matter what, he's getting 6 games.
That's true.
And so there's no chance that he's going to be playing at all. They can't, like, just push that back to the following season.
No, go ahead, Meg, because we were digging into this more, Eric.
Yeah, so during the break, we looked this up, and Michael Hurley wrote a pretty good piece about whether or not Deshaun could play against the Patriots in Week 6. Of course, locally, that's the angle that a lot of people are taking. And it was basically going through the timeline of Deflategate and that Brady had won his appeal right before the 2015 season started. So we played that out, and then the NFL appealed his appeal, and then that's why he had to serve the games the following season.
Yeah, so he had won.
They won in a higher court.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a different situation. Mm. According to Hurley, there's a slim chance that Deshaun could play while the appeal is going on, but most likely not.
If you're going to give him a year, wouldn't you really want to do it, and you do want to have some sort of financial punishment with him also, and knowing that his contract for this year, the slick agent that he had, only made his salary $1 million, wouldn't you want to push it to next year, push it to 2023?
No, you just want to go after the bonus. Well, you want to give a $20 million fine.
I think logistically you would, but also it just will look so tough for the NFL to have him on the field in Week 1 this season, because all of this is so fresh. So yes, like logistically, if you really want to throw the book at him, then you would hit him on the monetary side, like on the fine next season. But I think that the NFL absolutely does not want him on the field in September and October, no matter what.
All right, listen, actually real quick, a couple of Red Sox moves here. Caleb Ort's been optioned down to Worcester. It looks like Brian Baio is going to go on that 15-day injured list. We know Jackie Bradley was released, and that's because the Red Sox have reinstated Matt Barnes from the 60-day list. They've called up Darwinson Hernandez, and they've activated Eric Hosmer. So some moves there for the Red Sox. All right, listen, when we come back, I want to talk about Brittany Griner. She was actually found guilty and sentenced today to 9 years in a Russian prison. Get some reaction to that next. All right, so Brittany Griner, we all know she's being held in Russia. The hearing was today. Prosecution asked for 9.5 years. Well, they concluded today she was found guilty, and they sentenced her to 9 years in a Russian prison. I want you to hear from Brittany Griner. She delivered a statement in Russian court today ahead of the verdict. This is what she said.
My parents taught me two important things. One, take ownership for your responsibilities. and two, to work hard for everything that you have. That's why I plead guilty to my charges. I understand everything that's being said against me, the charges that are against me, and that is why I plead guilty. But I had no intent to break any Russian law. I know everybody keeps talking about political pawn and politics, but I hope that that is far from this courtroom.
So here's the thing with Brittany
Griner. 9 years.
She got 9 years. And I feel for her. Us in this country, we look at it and said, okay, she had cannabis oil.
Vape cards, yep.
In our country. You know, I think it's ridiculous to give somebody 9 years for that. But when you're in Russia and other countries and they have laws, I think you should know what the laws are, especially when you play basketball over there, which is what a lot of WNBA players do. And you broke a law. We might think it's ridiculous, but over there, it's a law, right?
it's a very strict law.
Yeah.
And so
I feel awful for her.
No,
but
I do. I listen, I have compassion for her. I do.
I think everybody would. Nobody
and
wants
if
her to
you
be
don't,
over there.
Then you're just a jerk, right? Because, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know Brittany Griner at all. I haven't seen her play a couple of times, but this sucks for her, her family, and everybody associated with her. But what are you going to do? Like, honest to God, what are you going to do? They tell you not to do it. You do it anyways. You get caught, and now you're stuck there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my thing is like, all right, so now what? Like, where does she go now? Does she go to like a hardcore prison?
I don't know.
Like, what is like a gulag? Like, where do you go? I'm not even joking. Like, okay,
no,
so where do you go? Are
I'm
you like on a work
either.
Detail? Are
yeah.
you like, you know, are they? Are you hammering rocks? Like, what are you doing?
So, I think it's the statement that she made there at the end, saying that she, you know, talking about a political pawn and politics. Well, it's naive to think that that's not a part of what this is. Yes, she broke Russian law, and I'm not familiar with Russian law or the legal system over there. But 9 years is excessive by any standard in any country. 9 years is extremely excessive. And you have to believe that they are using her as a political pawn in order to get some unsavory characters that they would like released back out into the world. That's what it's all about.
Well, yeah.
Now, she was in the wrong in terms of breaking their law. That I agree with that. But this is like, it's just really sad. It's sad for her. Like, it's absolutely, the punishment does not fit the crime whatsoever.
No, but, you know, and
it's getting worse.
The other person over there, so they're talking about all these, this two-for-one deal, right? Corporate Secretary Director Paul Whelan. He's over in Russia as well. And the deal was for this guy, Victor Bout. Is that how you pronounce his last name?
Victor Bout.
Yeah, they call him whatever it is,
right? Merchant of Death.
The Merchant of Death, who was arrested and sentenced to 25 years in prison for selling arms, like $25 million worth of arms that were going to, like, kill U.S. citizens.
Yeah, to terrorists. Yeah. He was dealing to terrorists.
Kill U.S. citizens.
A real bad guy.
Right. So this is the trade? And it doesn't even, this isn't even, and a lot of people look at it and say, first off, if you do this, it's dumb, in my opinion. Like, you got to give this guy back up. The guy that's like, and I feel for Brittany Griner, but I also feel for the families that might lose loved ones when this guy gets out and is pissed off and does the exact same thing again.
Well, or
and
already, U.S. citizens already die. Have. Already right. have lost loved ones because right. of an arms dealer. And I'm not saying that, look, explore other avenues that you can to
Try.
Get Brittany Griner home. Absolutely. Absolutely. She's a human being. She's an American citizen. There's no reason that she should even spend a year more over there stuck in a Russian prison. There's no reason.
But would you give this guy up for her?
No.
I mean
I'm
doing?
Sorry. This is crazy.
TJ Quinn was on SportsCenter at noon, and we all think this is like a bad deal. Apparently, Russia thinks it's not enough. Listen to him.
The challenges are considerable. When the U.S. made its first offer, what they got back in return was a request from Russia for a man who's being held for murder in Germany, not even by the U.S. It's not just Joe Biden calling Vladimir Putin. It's the White House, the State Department, the Justice Department on our side. On the other side, it's the Kremlin, it's the Foreign Ministry, it's the FSB, a number of organizations with different goals for what they want.
So they wanted to just not only release this guy, the Merchant of Death, but they also want to get another guy out of Germany who's a murderer.
It's insane. It's a ridiculous ask.
It's not a chance.
Everybody's sympathetic to Brittany Griner. Everybody thinks it's ridiculous. But
and they
this
know
is
they
where
can't
you're at.
Do that.
This
you know you can't do
give
that.
This guy, they've already offered this guy.
No. They've offered
the Merchant of
that
Death.
Guy, but then Russia sits there and says, okay, like, and then one more thing. Let me get this other guy in Germany.
Yeah.
Like, so that's the obviously they're playing you like crazy, and now you're screwed.
So they wanted to trade multiple murderers for a WNBA basketball player and a former Marine.
Yeah. Yeah. Which we all love. We all want them back. But, I mean, can we negotiate something different?
Well, I would say that this deal probably isn't going to get done.
Let me go to this call because Kelly and Amherst says I'm wrong on Griner. I don't know what about, but go ahead, Kelly. I'm sure I am somewhere. Go ahead.
You know you are, but no, listen, man, no, you guys are sounding great, but here's the thing. You're sending it, you're doing it backwards. You're saying, oh, yeah, you know, I have sympathy, but, and then you're spending 20 minutes about that she broke a law. They're not even enforcing the right law. They're giving her the charges for somebody who is a large-scale drug dealer. So, no, it is totally ridiculous, and you got to say it the other way around. You got to say, look, I know she broke a law and everything, but, and then you spent 20 minutes talking about how it's ridiculous. That's my thought.
Well, I think we all said it was ridiculous and that she shouldn't even spend a year in prison. She should be brought back home.
For her, it's extremely bad timing, given what had happened. And that we're requesting for them to just release her 3 days after, you know, we're giving $550 million to Ukraine to fight Russia. Like, I'm pretty sure they're going to sit there and say, you know, I mean, you're supplying ammunition to kill Russian citizens, and now you want us to play ball with
them. This might be very naive. Why do we have American athletes competing in a country where they are so eager to imprison someone for, like, maximum sentences?
I don't know.
It seems like that is potentially unsafe for our own citizens.
Well, I think it's ridiculous that anybody here, and I'm not saying you guys, but anybody here would try to apply the standards and values that we hold in this country to the standards and values that are held in Russia. It's just, it's not the same. It's not even apples and oranges.
No. That's why I said I can be sympathetic for this girl. You know what I mean? But when you're in another country, you got to pay attention to the laws. And I certainly wouldn't give up the merchant of death. I got to try to find out something else.
Well, but even if, let's say, so the last caller was, okay, this is for a high-level drug trafficker. Okay, we're going to give you 9 years. Okay, so for a normal Russian who ends up smuggling, you know, some, I don't know, some cannabis oil, like, what would that person get?
I do not know the Russian legal system.
Like, no, I mean, I know you don't.
That's
it's
Singapore.
Like a rhetorical. Is that Singapore?
Singapore is where they cane you for spitting gum on the
sidewalk. Can you just beat me up
for
a little bit and let me go?
Why is no one worried about the 40,000 Americans currently incarcerated for marijuana-related laws that are currently not on the books, things that have been wiped off the books? People are still serving time, 40,000 of them here in America, but worried about a WNBA star who knowingly broke the law in Russia.
Yeah, so you're talking about, so they decriminalized marijuana and marijuana use. This has been legalized in a bunch of areas, but people who are incarcerated because of that, before the law was changed, should be released, right?
Correct. Yeah, okay. It makes no sense to
me. I agree with you on that. Listen, you know, it's just a popular person. Think about the Russians, how lucky they, the attention and the luck, how lucky they feel by snagging a high-profile athlete from the United States.
If they were to make this deal and get these guys back.
Well, that'll never happen. That's not going to happen.
Sounds like they've already offered it.
By the way, Brittany Griner in the WNBA, the maximum base salary was $230,000. She makes more than $1 million playing in Russia.
That's okay, why. So I'd understand why you'd play over there, but I still feel that.
We're still going to talk about Live Golf.
Russia.
Oh, God.
Are we going to be aware
what about Live Golf?
Of the laws in Russia?
And they do, because this is such a common occurrence where American athletes will come over with, you know, medical marijuana prescriptions. I think in 2018 in FIFA, the Russian government made those allowances for people who needed medical marijuana, but you needed all the paperwork.
Sure.
You needed everything.
Would you even trust that?
No.
Hey, look, I got all, this is fake. They throw it out. Some
they
dude
rip
throws
it
out.
You got nothing now.
Yeah, you got nothing. Yeah, how you feel, tough
what
guy?
What do you got now?
Yeah, I don't see no paperwork.
No, you can't rip up my paperwork.
I just did. Sorry.
To this point,
come get them.
It's like a travel log, and it's basically saying, this is Kanigma.com talking about, should you travel to Russia with weed? And they're saying, if anyone detained by police with cannabis, including less than 6 grams, could face abuse, a demand for a bribe, and all types of other legal hassles until they are released. So they're just kind of making it up.
Like I said, you can't feel sorry for her and then tell her she's... Yeah, actually you can.
Oh, sorry, I missed the last line. There's also no assurance that the police won't say that the amount is more than 6 grams if they are so inclined.
Yeah, just go to Russia.
We used to feel that way. Like when we would go, when I was younger and we would like cross the border into Mexico and go try to party in Tijuana.
Yeah, you don't want to do that either.
Like it was such a bad idea.
Yeah.
But we did it anyways. Okay, but I was like 16.
Yeah, she's just 31.
And then how many times we got shaken down by federales for just because we were Americans and they said, listen, we're going to arrest you unless you give us $100. Well, here's your $100. They go on your way. And we get stopped by around the corner.
Right.
I must have got stopped one time, three times before I crossed the border back into the United States.
9 years is horrible. Oh, my God.
Listen, it could have been 9.5.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
Yeah, it's just.
I just feel so bad for
her. I feel bad for her. Like Kelly said, you can't have both. No, I can. And don't tell me how I feel. I feel bad for this. You got 9 years for this because I live in this country. But over there, that's their laws. And just be smarter. Be better. And if we trade for her for this merchant of death and some murderer that's sitting in a cell in Germany, then we're the idiots. Figure something else out. Don't do that.
I'm not going there.
No. Not a chance in hell.
Not going to Russia?
No.
All right, listen, when we come back.
That was off my list like a while ago.
We were talking last week, actually, I think earlier this week, about the whole Tom Brady situation, the tampering down in Miami. Well, Bill Belichick spoke to the media. He was asked about it and gave us all the answers. Spoke openly about it. We'll hear from it next.